Thank you very much, and welcome again, everyone. It's really a nice turnout this morning, and glad that you were all able to come. Well, I'm going to be the one to introduce our speaker because Tiffany actually works with me. As many of you know, I handle customer service at Bookshare. And Tiffany has an internship with us this summer, and she's been working on some very important outreach programs with us. And it's really been a pleasure working with Tiffany over the last couple of months. But she's actually not here to talk about Bookshare. The reason Tiffany is here is to tell us a little bit about herself, and she recently participated in a triathlon over in Hawaii. And I thought that many of you folks would find this to be an interesting topic to find out what kind of training goes into this sort of thing and exactly what all is involved. And so I'll turn it over to Tiffany now and let her tell you all a little bit about herself and the triathlon and things that that she's involved with. So Tiffany, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, John. Let me start out by saying that I'm a very informal speaker, and so if you have any questions or comments throughout, please just feel free to shout them out. I didn't expect so many people actually, but but I'd be happy to make this into. Sorry.
We're everywhere.
They're all around me. So I'd be happy to make this more of a conversation than a formal speaking engagement. So, like this? Is that better? Okay. It's hot in here. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, my name is Tiffany, as John said, and I grew up in this area. I went to Gunn High School in Palo Alto, and. You had a great time, love the Bay Area, and it's really nice to be back. But when I was 18, I was ready to venture forth into the world. So I did my undergraduate work on the East Coast. I went to Williams College in Massachusetts, which is a small liberal arts school. I had a blast. It's in the Berkshires. It's beautiful. And then I was on this very driven sort of academic path, and so I went straight from my undergraduate school to Penn State into a PhD program for clinical psychology. And so I did that for 4 years. Along the way, I got my master's degree. I wrote a master's thesis. And about 4 years into the program, I was absolutely burnt out. I was just exhausted. I did experience a lot of difficulties receiving the accommodations I felt like I needed at the school. I felt like I was, fighting to get, accessibility to computer systems within the department, and it was a very frustrating situation, and I sort of reached a point where I knew that I needed to step back, regroup, and then decide, where to go next, whether I wanted to return to Penn State, whether I wanted to find a different school to finish my degree. So I moved back to the Bay Area, a place that spoke of comfort to me near my parents who live in San Jose. My mom is here today, and I came back and was putting the finishing touches on my thesis. I was pretty exhausted, and then come January, I found myself with all of this unstructured time, and I thought, wow, a year ago, if somebody had said to me, what would it be like to have no responsibilities and to be out in a beautiful area with lovely weather? And I would have said, great, that sounds ideal. But I found that I was very, very restless, and I felt like I needed a new project. And so I started, in addition to starting to look for a job, which I was also doing at the time, I decided that I needed to do something crazy, like sign up for a triathlon. And I should give you some background, which is to say that I'm not very athletic. I in high school, I was on a swim team for 2 years. I rowed for a semester in college. did yoga on and off. I walk with my guide dog, Tammy, all over the place. But for the most part, I really have not been one of those competitive, driven athletes. I put most of that into my schoolwork. And so I decided that I needed to, you know, move away from all of the intense mental pursuits and do something, you know, more physical and get more exercise. And so I went online, I was looking around and I was looking at all these triathlon clubs, and they were like, oh, you know, we'll help you decrease your time. And they were very intense. So I then was talking to a friend of mine who had done a marathon through Team and Training. And I thought, well, you know, it's a neat organization. I'll look into it and see if they do triathlons. Turns out that they do. Yes, Team and Training?
Could you explain what a triathlon is?
You bet. A triathlon, there are several different lengths, distances of triathlons. But they all involve a swim, a bicycle ride, and then a run at the end. I'm glad you asked that. That's a good question. Because I had some experience swimming, I thought that'd be nice. And I figured, you know, I have a tandem bicycle, and so I could do the bicycle ride that way. And the run, I've never run before. But I figured, you know, how hard, you know, one foot in front of the other, right? So. So I looked into Team and Training, and Team and Training is part of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And what they do is they provide professional coaches, they provide some team workouts, and in return, participants get to do fundraising for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And so it felt right. It felt like the focus was different. It wasn't about, you know, improving my time or something like that, but it was about raising awareness for blood cancer, raising money for blood cancer research. And I thought I'd meet some really nice people that way. And it turns out that I have. So I called up and I said, you know, hi, I'm interested in doing this triathlon. I noticed that your season has already started. Is there still space? They said yes. And I said, and another little complication, I'm blind. And and I was like, but I'd still like to do this. And you know, I haven't quite figured out how yet, but I'd like to do that. And they said, well, great, come on out. You know, we've had blind marathon runners. We're not sure how you'll do a triathlon, but we'll be there to help give you the support that you need if you want to come out and talk to us. So I went out to Mountain View High School where they had Saturday morning practice and talked to the coaches. Steve Kelch was our head coach, and he was just so supportive. And he said, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to make this happen. We don't know how, but he's like, well, what is your experience, and have you, you know, done much of this before? And I was like, well, you know, 10 years ago, I swam in high school. So he's like, great. But so he said, well, let's see. It would probably be helpful. I think it would be helpful to have somebody to train with who I will also be doing the race with. So I'll have time to get used to working with them, and, you know, whoever it is and I can do the race together. And so he said, all right, well, so let's each, you know, take this away. You go sort of put out your feelers, and we'll talk to people within our organization and our team and see if there are people interested in helping out. And so I you know, looked into the Stanford Triathlon Club and you know, was sort of looking around, word of mouth, but they immediately had a man who was a captain on the team volunteer to work with me. His name is Larry. And so Larry and I decided that we would start training together. He is quite the character. It was his seventh season with Team and Training. It was Maui would have been his 13th triathlon. Nevertheless, he's not a super competitive athlete. He's really quite the jokester, and, you know, out there to have fun and raise awareness. And so he and I started working together, and we decided on, there were a couple different options for triathlon. triathlons, we decided to prepare for the King's Trail Triathlon in Maui. For a couple reasons, one of which was that it was in Maui. That sounded great. but it was also because I was starting about a month into the season, it was in June, and the other event, Wildflower, which is at Lake San Antonio, was in May. And I just didn't know if I would be ready in time for that. So I decided to sign up for an Olympic distance triathlon, which is a 1.5 kilometer swim in Maui. It was in the ocean, in the open water, followed by a 40 kilometer bicycle ride, followed by a 10K run. And we started training. And it was at McKenna. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the island. I'm not so much, but it was all at the Maui Prince Hotel. So the swim was in the ocean, and the bicycle ride was around McKenna, and then the run was alongside the ocean. It was beautiful, and then through some lava fields. But in which direction?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. No. I'm not sure.
That way.
It was all in loops, so it was sort of out and back, and I'm not sure in which directions we were going.
Towards the other hotels or out towards?
I think away from the other hotels.
Thank you.
Sure, no problem. So I've brought some props. there were a lot of things to problem solve. The bicycle ride was the easiest because easiest is such a relative term. I had a tandem bicycle, so the problem of how we would cycle together was solved. But certainly learning to communicate with one another was interesting. You know, learning to, Larry's quite the talker, and so we'd be riding along, and he'd be telling me about his time living in Jamaica, and then he'd be like, bump, and you know, the fruit in Jamaica is really beautiful and really very tasty, you know, turn. And so finally I'd be like, okay, we have to isolate the information, you know, the bicycle riding information from the conversation. And so it took us a little while to get used to how best to communicate on the bicycle. But the run was the next thing. We tried a lot of different things, but what we ended up with was a strap that we would hold with handles on either side, and we ran side by side. And I'm going to pass this strap around the room so you guys can get a sense of what it was. I don't know if Alan is around to help me pass these. Thank you.
So one person holds one, and then
So if you could start to, thank you. So Larry and I would run side by side, and with the strap between us, and we'd each be able to swing our arms, you know, with the run, and then he would provide some narrative about the terrain, you know, uneven. We're going to be going up a hill, down a hill, turning, things like that, and that ended up working pretty well. The most difficult thing to figure out was the open water swim. We did most of our training in a pool with lane lines, and that was pretty easy. But the open water swim, I've never done anything like that before, and so we were trying to figure out how best to communicate, because on the course there are turns, there are lots of people, so how to communicate with our heads underneath the water and not being able to, you know, talk to one another. One of my engineer friends said, oh, I'm sure I can figure out some sort of walkie-talkie for you, but, you know, but, I mean, we went through a lot of different ideas. I mean, one of which was maybe some sort of sound-making device that he could put, you know, and I could follow. What we ended up deciding on was we got a physical therapy band that we tied to our waists, And the first time we went out to Redwood Shores, which is, I think, in Foster City, someplace like that. It's this very...
It's up there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, actually, it wasn't Redwood Shores, I think, but we went to this duck pond. It was...
That's Redwood Shores.
Yeah, no, the first one we went to was even more disgusting. My mother is a nurse, and so I have germ phobia just like programmed into my genes. And so we went out to this duck pond, and with our wetsuits, I borrowed a wetsuit. We went out with our wetsuits, and I squelching through the mud, wading into this duck pond. You know, there are ducks and geese everywhere, and you know, making their contributions to the water.
No, get a rifle.
So we're waiting in. We tie this therapy band around our waists, and we start swimming. And it was a disaster, honestly, the first time. The therapy band was waving up in my face. I couldn't figure out, like, do we go side by side? We tried side by side, one in front of the other. We tried having it behind me and sort of tapping my feet to say left and right. It did not work. We emerged smelly and muddy and discouraged, and it was difficult. But what we ended up doing is sticking with this therapy band idea, and we put on some washers to weigh the band down just in front of my face. So picture this. I'm going to send this around the room now. Sure. Thank you. Did we wash? Yes. Okay. It is clean. It has been several months since the duck pond fiasco. But so picture this. I have a therapy band wrapped around my waist. It extends underneath me. So I'm in the water with, you know, on my belly in the water. The therapy band extends forward underneath me. It's weighed down a little bit by the washers in front of my face. And then it is attached to Larry in front of me. And what we ended up figuring out is when I swim freestyle, my arm is extended above my head at the very end of my stroke. And if my fingertips touched the therapy band, then I knew that I was directly behind Larry. If, however, the band crossed over my arm to the left or the right, I would know that I needed to turn in the water. And it took some practicing, certainly. But this is... what ended up working for us. And so at this point, you know, it was just about training, getting ourselves in shape. I went to spin classes, which are, you know, the stationary bikes at the gym, and I don't think I've ever sweat so much in my life. We went running, we went swimming, and just kind of got ready for the big day. And we flew off in the beginning of June to Maui with the team, and the day before the race, we went out into the ocean. And believe it or not, this was my first time. Even though we'd done some open water swims, this was my first time swimming in the ocean. It was the day before the race. Yeah. So we went out there and tried with our therapy bands, and it was pretty scary. I would say, with the swells. I mean, the water was beautiful and warm and clear, but I wasn't used to the swells, to the waves, and I remember stopping sort of just a minute or two into our swim and, like, tugging furiously on the therapy band and getting Larry to stop, and he's like, "What's going on?" And I said, "Larry, I'm sort of freaking out here. You know, I'm feeling very sort of out of control and very small in this very big and bumpy body of water." And he's like, "Oh, it's fine. It's just like swimming in the lake." I was like, "Larry, no." So we ended up spending a lot of time practicing that day, a lot more time than the team did, just kind of getting used to it. And by the end, I was feeling like I was ready to give it a shot, and I figured with race day adrenaline, it would be better. So 5 a.m. comes around, June 10th. I walk to, I'm walking among the crowd, you know, among all the people, and getting ready for the race. And the way it works, the first thing that we needed to do was set up a transition area. And this was an area where we would keep our stuff, our bicycle. And so Larry gets in this very sort of, you know, he gets in this very sort of parental mode. So he's like, okay, we have to set up our transition area and make sure you put everything in the order that we're going to use it. And so I start, and we have this towel that we lay down on the wet grass. First thing, so I've got my triathlon suit on, and what this is it's a sort of a stretchy spandex one piece, like tank top and shorts. And the shorts have some padding in the back for the bicycle ride. And what it is this is the suit that I will wear through the entire race. I swim in it. It's supposed to dry quickly, and then I, you know, jump on the bike and then jump off and do my run. So I'm wearing this triathlon suit, and I have my goggles and my swim cap and our swimming tether, And so this is what I'm starting with. And then after the swim, we're going to come back to the transition area, where I have left my bicycle shoes, which are pretty much like, you know, they're like running shoes, but they've got these clips on the bottom that clip onto the pedals. Yeah? And so I'm going to come back. I have my socks and bicycle shoes. I have my bicycle helmet, safety glasses for, you know, speeding along at the rate of the wind. You know, I want to make sure I keep things from flying into my eyes. So I have my safety glasses, gloves with a little bit of padding. I should have brought those, but I didn't. For the handlebars, because, you know, after 26 miles or so of riding, you know, your hands get a little sore. So this is at the front, and then I have nutrition is a really important part of doing triathlons. And I think nutrition is a euphemism, because the stuff that the athletes eat in these situations is disgusting. and I brought some of it to pass around, actually. I had with me on race day a package of Shot Blocks, which are these, like, jelly-like gummy bear, shots of electrolytes and sodium, and I brought them. I have an open pack that I'm going to pass around. There are two in here. You're welcome to feel them. I'm not going to ingest them afterwards, so feel free to check them out. I also have with me a gel. And what this is it's just like goo. It's electrolytes and carbs and energy. Yeah, so I'm going to pass these both around. Whoops.
These are better than when I used to ride bicycle races and stuff. I just used oranges.
Oranges, yeah.
Oranges, regular old oranges grow on trees.
Right. That's probably much better. Right. So is everything good? Just keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Okay, so I'm passing these around. So I have these to stick in the back of my bicycle shirt. And on my shirt, I have this Team and Training singlet that when I get out of the water, I'm going to put on. So that's there too, and it has the names of all of the honorees that I am racing for on it. And so, got the nutrition in the back, and then for my running stuff, I have running shoes, I have a baseball cap, and a race belt with a pocket in it for a water bottle, so like a fanny pack. So all of this gear, there's so much gear. So I set up the transition area, and then Larry and I go, and we get our race numbers, and we get this very cool ankle strap with a computer chip in it that's going to record our time. They put it around our ankles, and then they write on us with magic marker, write our numbers, write my age on the back of my calf, and my race number on my shoulder. This was last month, and I was 26, as I am now. So then Larry and I head down to the beach where we have this lovely ceremony. This is now maybe 6:30 in the morning. We have this lovely Hawaiian ceremony with a priestess who blesses us in Hawaiian and gets us all ready to go. And we go in different waves, different age groups. There are 6 waves. I'm in the 4th one. And at the beginning of each wave, the priestess blows on the conch shell. It's just this lovely experience. And so Larry and I all line up on the beach, and when it's our turn, they blow the conch shell, and we trot into the water and then just start swimming. And it was a bit calmer, it being 7:09 in the morning when we started. The water was a little bit calmer than it had been the day before. And it felt really great. It was nice. We really got to stretch out. We took it easy. We did a nice swim. There were a couple times Larry wanted to stop and look at the sea turtles, but I made him keep going. there was a lot of sea life that that people saw. One of my teammates literally bumped her head on a sea turtle. She was swimming along. She bumps her head and goes, "Ow, what was that?" And looks, and the sweet sea turtle's just swimming down into the water. So it was beautiful. And then we got out of the beach. Got back to the beach. And after I had a slight collision with a buoy on the way in, because Larry tried to keep us on the outside of the loop, you know, to keep us away from all the people. So yeah, bumped into the buoy. No big deal. Come on out. We run on the beach and pass over this little mat that records our time for the swim. And then we go up to the transition area. I switch into my bicycle gear. We hop on the bicycle. The nice thing about the bicycle ride was that it was like a Y shape ride. So we would go down one arm of the Y and then back, and then down the other and back. And then, so the neat thing is we really got to see everybody going one way or the other on the ride. And there was a lot of cheering, everyone was encouraging one another. There were about 450 people in the race altogether, and over 200 of them were, over half of them anyway, were from Team in Training. So there was this really great spirit out there. So the bicycle ride was fun. It was pretty non-eventful. There were a lot of rolling hills. I experienced it as difficult. We had trained on hills here, so we were better off than some of the people coming from Florida and places where there weren't hills. But it was a challenging bicycle ride. And we had to make some really sharp turns on this tandem bicycle. So Larry had me shouting, "Wide turn!" You know, every time we had to make a U-turn. And I'm happy to report that we did make all of the U-turns. We had a couple close calls, but it was good. So then we come back from the bicycle ride, and then I ended up running with Coach Steve because Larry had a tendonitis injury in his Achilles at the time. And so Steve and I headed out on the 10K run, and it was very exciting. Like I said, it was beautiful, past the ocean, and we ran through lava fields. Because Steve was my coach, he was very concerned that I stayed hydrated, and so he made us stop at all of the aid stations. There was an aid station about every mile. And drink, and he's very solicitous. "Oh, here's some ice cubes for your baseball cap, and here's a cold sponge." It was very hot, you know, it being Hawaii. Here's some sponge, cool off, drink some water. And finally at the end, we were spending so much time at the aid stations, I was like, "Steve, I can drink and run, let's keep going." I'm almost there. And then the last 100 yards, Steve handed me back to Larry so that he and I could finish together. And we ran across the finish line, and it was one of the most exciting experiences of my life. It was such an adventure, and Larry and I had become such close friends at this point, and it was just such an achievement, so much fun. And I definitely recommend it. You know, I recommend anyone who's interested in going out and getting exercise. I think Team in Training is a great way to do it. They have walk teams, hike teams, run teams. triathlon teams, cycle teams, and I just had such a great time and met wonderful people. And now, after having this experience, I'm doing another race tomorrow. I'm doing the Catfish Swim at Stevens Creek Reservoir. It's a 2.5-mile swim. And I'm looking forward to that. Larry and I are going to do that together. And I'm also training now for a half Ironman in September. With a new guide, because Larry said there's no way he was doing a half Ironman. So I have a new partner. That is going to be a 1.2-mile swim, a 56-mile bicycle ride, and a half marathon, a 13-mile run at the end. So that's... this one's in Santa Cruz. It's Big Kahuna in Santa Cruz.
Larry's not going to be there?
He better come and cheer me on, but he's not going to be my racing partner because he didn't feel like he was up for doing a half. But I do have a racing partner who I also met through the team, and so he and I are going to do it together. Yes?
Part question. Okay, having got real stupid and almost drowned in Lake Tahoe,
ooh,
as far as the swim goes...
Where's the mic? Where's the mic?
Here it is.
Okay, yeah, let's pass around the mic for questions.
Actually, you keep yours, and yeah, there's another
master. No, Alan, use Deborah has
it. Can Alan see me? I'm back here with this mic. You may need to turn it on. Mm-hmm. Alan, I'm sorry. I forgot to give it to you. Thank you.
Okay, can you hear me now? Okay, yeah, I almost drowned once, you know, in the cold water of Lake Tahoe. So, on the swim, did you, did you switch, you know, strokes like freestyle to side stroke to backstroke, or did you do the same thing all the way, or how did that work? And also, was there, you know, just in case something happened, was there some kind of flotation device or boat around to rescue somebody?
Yes, that's a good question. I personally, I would say that swimming is my strongest event, and so I did freestyle throughout the swim, but certainly other people out there were doing different things like side stroke, keeping their head above the water. There were a couple people who went out and came right back because they found it to be overwhelming, and there were people in kayaks all around us, making sure that everybody was doing okay, and making sure that they didn't have to fish anyone out.
What time of day did you finish the triathlon?
Oh, I finished around 11. So my time was about 3 hours and 45 minutes that it took me to do this race. And so, yeah, I finished around 11.
Yeah, hold on. Bill.
Hello, hi. I was wondering if we wanted to get in contact with that group that
yes.
you got. How could we do that?
Well, there are a couple things. You can go to teamintraining.org and look them up.
T-E-A-M?
Mm-hmm. T-E-A-M-I-N-T-R-A-I-N-I-N-G. Team in Training. You can give them a call. There's the Silicon Valley chapter. It depends on what team you're interested in. I know they're still recruiting for fall season. I totally recommend it. I wonder if I brought my business cards. I have cards. I'd be happy to give my contact information to anyone who wants to be in touch with any more questions. Can also let them know that I came and spoke with you and referred you and you know, that might help too. So,
Jim Bliss involved?
I'm sorry?
Do you know Jim Bliss?
Jim Bliss?
No, I don't know Jim Bliss, but it doesn't mean that he's.
He used to be president of Telesensory, and he has multiple myeloma, and I thought he was involved in it.
He may very well be. It's an amazing organization.
Los Altos.
It's very big, and so I.
You might have run across him.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim.
Tiffany?
Yes.
A couple of things. One is I think that the parallel here is kind of interesting. Roger went to the University of Oregon, graduated early at Phi Beta Kappa and senior six, went into a PhD program at Cornell on a Woodrow Wilson fellow. The only difference is he's ABD. And Alba dissertation.
Yeah.
But what he did instead of writing his dissertation was he published a national directory of blind college students.
Oh.
Which was very interesting.
All
but dissertation. Mm-hmm. He did all of his coursework, just didn't write his paper.
Right.
That was in the 60s.
Yeah. but I wanted to know, did you try to connect with other visually impaired people that have done these different things? And the reason I ask is that I have a friend in San Francisco who is called Harry the Horse, who has done the Ironman triathlon in Hawaii. He's
awesome.
skied the Berkey Beiner 55K. He's
wow.
He's done the Ritteren, the 25K in Norway, and the Primo 50 miler, and you know, he's one of those people. And he's written a book called Breaking Through, which is a very interesting story about his life and how he trained for all the various things.
He's also one of the first blind people to become an athlete. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mm. Yeah.
Wow.
We're very much passionate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Harry Cardellis. And you know, because I met him at Ski for Light, and mm-hmm. and they, you know, developed means of, you were talking about the communication about,
right.
There was a deaf-blind woman, and what they did was the guide would give her signals on her back with, you know, like a long line meant a long hill ahead, or, you know, short line was a short hill, and if they wanted to sit, you know, they would tell you to sit if there was pending.
That's what you do if you're coming, going toward a tree.
The sit, and different things. But I also had a reader in Washington D.C. who was quite a runner, and she used to swim with a blind woman. And I thought she told me she swam beside her, but like more like synchronized swimming,
yeah.
Only out in the ocean, and that sort of thing. But anyway, I was curious where you finished in the pack.
About middle.
Yeah, that's what Harry told me. He said, Bernice, I wasn't in the beginning, and I wasn't at the end. I wasn't last.
Right,
he said,
right.
I was in the middle.
I finished toward the front of the swim,
uh-huh.
and then toward the middle of the
mm-hmm.
race.
Mm-hmm. So have you met other blind athletes in doing this?
I have not, but I have started to reach out now to try and find some. There's an organization called See Different in Southern California that uh-huh. that works with blind triathletes.
Uh-huh.
And I've been in some email contact with them.
What about USABA, the United States Association for Blind Athletes?
I looked a little bit into that as well
mm-hmm.
At the time,
mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping to learn more about it
mm-hmm.
now that I'm sort of, I have a little more.
Yeah, our friend Oral Miller is the president of that, mm-hmm. and he's, I think he had a swimmer at the convention. We just came from our big mm-hmm. national convention in
yeah.
Minneapolis.
Excellent.
Can we have a question? Hold on. Hang on.
Hello, do you know if there's any age limit or any older people like
no,
my age?
No age limit. There are people there in their 60s and 70s doing it, and one of them, a couple of them just blew us all away.
Well, it sounds like fun.
It's so much fun. So much.
We can take a couple more questions for Tiffany, and then we'll go ahead and have our break and resume the business meeting at 11 o'clock. So are there any other questions?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Hold on, Sam.
Okay.
Hold on, Sam.
Alan's bringing a microphone to you, Sam.
I'm Sam, and you know that the two questions. One is you talk about biking, and I wonder, you know, how do you follow the sighted guy and in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
So I used a tandem bicycle, which is a bicycle that's it's all one piece, and there's a seat on the front with handlebars that move, and so the person in the front is called the captain of the tandem, and that person does the steering, has some handbrakes.
Okay.
With my tandem bicycle, the gears are controlled by the person in front, but I'm hoping to have them rerouted so that I can do the gears in the back. Yeah, Larry was a little bit hesitant about that, but he can deal. And so I'm hoping to have them rerouted. I in the back have a seat with some handlebars that are are stationary, just for me to hold on to. They're attached to his seat. And I have a brake in the back also called a drum brake for going down hills. And our pedals are in sync with one another so that we must pedal at the same rate, RPM, you know. And so that's how we did the ride.
You know, I was thinking that I was hoping that if you have known some, you know, blind folks who have tried the ordinary bike, mm-hmm. and using the strap you were showing us, a longer mm-hmm. one, and somehow, you know, the blind can follow.
That could be a problem.
Guy, huh?
Yeah, that could be a big problem. You don't want to try that. You want a tandem bike if you're going to bicycle.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Yeah.
Sure.
Playing cards in his phone.
Anybody else?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to do that. Okay. Alan, Debbie has a question back here.
Oh, wait a minute. Don has a question. Hold on. Don has.
Since I used to be involved in the Sequoia Century bicycling races when I could see better, do you have a sag? They have a sag wagon for people's wheels that fall off and flat tires and stuff like that?
Yeah, always at every practice that we did a bicycle ride on the team, there was always someone sagging.
Yeah, and is anyone, you know, with the Tour de France, there was news out, they're still worrying about who's doping. Do people do doping in the triathlon?
Well,
I hope not.
I don't know. I mean, maybe among the professionals, but like I said, you know, I was sort of in these smaller races where people were just out there to raise awareness and have fun. So, no doping.
I hope.
Unless caffeine counts. And.
Well, Debbie has a question back here, Alan.
Okay, coming, Debbie.
Sorry, Alan.
No, no problem. Don't be sorry. That's what I'm here for.
What a guy.
I'll be really quick. So, you know, I'm not an athlete. I'm actually overweight, but I love to swim. And I have trouble going to pools where there are lots of little kids and stuff, but sometimes when I'm on vacation, that's all I can find. Mm-hmm. And I also have trouble swimming straight. What are your tips on those for the non-athlete?
Thank you. A couple things. I was really reluctant when I started to go to a pool by myself. I always waited until I had someone to go with and we could be in a lane together. But since then, I've started, I joined the Burgess Pool in Menlo Park and I've started going on my own. And I when I check in at the front desk, I ask that person or I ask the lifeguard who I've started to get to know if they can help me find a lane. And then if there's someone else in the lane, I introduce myself and I explain that I'm blind and that I'm happy to do circle swimming, but you know, keep an eye out for me because I won't be keeping an eye out for you. And and usually people are a little scared off by that and they move, which is fine with me. But for swimming straight, it's very tricky. I think a couple things help. One, I often swim right next to the lane line. I have some bruises on my shoulder, I think, but for reaching out and checking to make sure I'm near the lane line. So I do that. The other thing is working on stroke technique has made me go straighter, so making sure that I'm putting in my hands into the water, you know, at sort of the 11 and 1 o'clock mm-hmm. positions has helped, you know, making sure that I'm swimming correctly in that way as well.
What about
counting strokes?
A lot of the pools mm-hmm. I know the lanes are drawn. I'm sorry. A lot of the pools I know the lanes are drawn on the bottom. And then a lot of the pools I visit on vacation, like I'm going to be on vacation for a month, hotel pools, they don't have lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think maybe that's a good question. It's tricky. I think if you have a partner to swim with, you can rig up something like the therapy band.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on.
Okay, we'll
yeah,
we'll
come find me afterward. We can
we'll go ahead and take your question.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah. This is the last one, maybe. No. Okay, did any of the athletes for the triathlon take steroids?
I don't think so. I don't know if they tested anyone.
I'm just curious because you know, with all this athletes thing.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Well, like I said, I was in a very small race in there was no prize money or, you know what I mean, nothing like that. It was just, you know, people having fun. So.
Well, Tiffany, thank you very much for your presentation. It's great to have had you here. We'll go ahead and take a break, folks, until 11 o'clock, and then we'll resume with the business meeting. Tiffany is going to give us her contact information. Excuse me, for anyone who'd like to write it down. And that was something we forgot to do, so I apologize for that.
Thank you. Well, while you guys get ready to write this down, I also wanted to say that I guess the moral of the story was that after doing this triathlon, I felt so much more confident in myself and in what I could do, and that I have decided to go back to Penn State in January to finish up my program and fight the fight and take legal action if I need to. And and I'm looking forward to it and feeling really hopeful and excited. So that was sort of the take-home message that I took from the triathlon. And but so anyone who wants to be in touch, I'd be happy to share more about my experiences. Some people came up with really good questions about how I trained at the gym and how I got there, and I'd be happy to answer any more questions that come up, and also to put you in touch with Team and Training and give you any encouragement that I can to get out there and try new things, new adventures. So I am Tiffany Medina, Medina. Tiffany, Tiffany, Medina, Medina, like the holy city. And I am, my email address is TMM, both M's as in Mary, 326 at gmail.com. Please feel free to be in touch. I'd be happy to hear from you. And anything else?
Okay, Tiffany, thank you.
Good to go?
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy the business meeting.
Thank you very much.
I'll be here for lunch too, if people want to.
Yeah, Tiffany's going to be here with us for lunch. So, and she's sitting at the table with Susan and Bev and Michelle, here just off to my right. So, anybody who'd like to chat with her at lunch, I'm sure she'll be happy to answer more questions.